I was speaking to a client who'd received a nudge letter last week, I think it was, exactly that point. He was very stressed about it. And there is this sort of, his starting point was, oh my God, I'm going to be in loads of trouble. And it almost, in the way the letters are written, it sort of comes across as, we've got some information. Yeah. Now, we're not going to tell you what that information is, and you're going to have to figure it out. But actually, it's not that.
Welcome to the Tax Compass podcast, navigating UK tax for expats with LSR partners.
Welcome back to the Tax Compass podcast with LSR partners, with me, Simon Ruey, and my business partner, Laura Sam.
Hi.
Today's podcast is part one in a sort of mini series. I don't think we're quite to the rest of the history of like eight parts, and I think that would bore everyone to death. But this is a two-parter. So this one is talking about nudge letters. So essentially where you get a letter from HMRC asking you about undisclosed income or gains that they think you might have had. Quite often it's foreign income. And we're just going to run through exactly what that means, how we deal with it, some of the pitfalls. It's an administrative thing, really. But it can still obviously be a bit disconcerting when that lands on the doormat. So we thought it would be a good one to cover. So Laura, when it comes to nudge letters, mm-hmm. we're seeing a lot of those recently, aren't we?
Yes.
Just run us through why they get issued, and we'll take it from there.
So the ones we tend to see most regularly at the moment is to do with offshore income, because of the type of firm that we are. HMRC will send what we call these nudge letters, if they have reason to believe that you have received certain sources of income or gains that you haven't disclosed to them through your tax return. Obviously, if it's offshore income, it won't automatically get told, or they won't automatically be told about it. You'll have to physically tell them about it.
Yeah, so I think just on that, so one of the things we're seeing more and more now is to keep people out of self-assessment, there is a very good like reconciliation process that goes on between like UK banks and HMRC. So yeah. we recently get these simple assessments that come through where they say, oh, HSBC have told client A that they've got 5,000 quid of interest, and they just do a recalculation to try and keep people outside of the self-assessment scheme.
Yes.
But there's something similar in terms of foreign income where there's reporting through, you know, between OECD countries.
Yes.
So we get a lot from Australia and Germany where the communication seems to be really quite good.
Yeah. We've had South Africa. France. A lot of European countries. I'm trying to think if we've had US. Sure, whether we've had anybody US income source,
but generally speaking, it's communications between governments that then give rise to an auto letter coming out saying, "Oh,
yes,
this is. Have you got anything?"
Now, sometimes we do get people who say, "Oh, I've had this through." I mean, sometimes they kind of maybe you'll say, "Well, yes, I've got this income, but I've paid tax in that other country," so we have misunderstandings where people have thought because they. You know, there's a double tax treaty. I've paid tax in one country because I shouldn't be doubly taxed. I don't need to pay it in the other country.
That's a classic, isn't it?
It is. That's a total misconception. The whole thing with a double tax treaty is it's supposed to prevent double taxation where at all possible. It doesn't prevent two countries from wanting to tax the same source of income. So, for example, if you have a property that is being rented out in South Africa, it is understandable you're going to report that rental income to the South African tax authorities and pay tax in South Africa. However, in the UK is also going to want to tax that income unless you've got any sort of special regime that you're eligible for that would take that outside the scope of UK taxation. And so if in South Africa the only thing that you're reporting is this rental income, you might find that you're paying tax at 20% or, you know, kind of a relatively low amount in South Africa. But then in the UK, you might have additional, like you might have 150,000 plus of employment income before that's taxable. So you might find that actually there is a tax liability owing in the UK. And whether there is a tax liability owing or not, you should still be reporting it to HMRC through a tax return. Where I was going into
no,
so that was only going to be a short point
no but I think so the key thing here is for people to remember that if you're a UK tax resident, the starting point is you're taxable on your worldwide income and gains. And that's just full stop.
Yes. The other thing that I was going to say is sometimes you get people come to us, I think we had one the other week, where they've had a nudge letter, and as far as they were concerned, they haven't received any income, or they weren't, you know, what income could it possibly be? So if they've sent you a nudge letter, you can give HMRC a call to find out.
They'll tell you what information they've got.
Yeah. Obviously, the very much the guidance is, if you know that you've got some income that hasn't been reported to HMRC, make sure you're reporting it. But it is always worth giving HMRC a call to find out, because actually, again, sometimes it brings things out, especially if you're somebody who's fortunate enough to have lots of investments, lots of things going on. There might be things happened that you haven't necessarily realised.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that comes to the next point. So I was speaking to a client who'd received a nudge letter last week, I think it was, exactly that point. He was very stressed about it. He was, and there is this sort of, his starting point was, oh my God, I'm going to be in loads of trouble. And it almost, in the way the letters are written, it sort of comes across as, we've got some information. Now, we're not going to tell you what that information is, and you're going to have to figure it out. But actually, it's not that.
No.
It's very much, this is an admin process. We've been told.
Yeah.
You obviously should pay tax. Do you need to tell us anything? And then it comes to that other thing, which I think is a really important thing, which is, it's a process. It's like governed by legislation. Like what penalties do you have to pay depending on what type of mistake it is? What's the interest? How do you calculate it?
And what category country does it come from?
Yeah, so it's worth saying that from a disclosure perspective, when it's offshore, they have this categorization system of three different categories.
Yeah.
Category one is sort of European countries, America, sort of...
Where there's a really good...
Where the information... Whereas countries like, if I don't know, Chad or somewhere, that's probably category three. I don't know off the top of my head, but I suspect it is. And they're different regimes, basically based on the opaqueness of that system and the information sharing between country A and the UK.
Yeah.
But it is always important as well to remember that it's an admin process. One client who works in financial services was very worried about, like, is this going to impact my FCA regulation and all that stuff? And it's like, no, it's not. I mean, obviously, if it's deliberately concealed, you can start moving towards criminality.
Yeah.
But HMRC really do accept the fact that in 99 times out of 100, it's because either people are under the misapprehension you raised of, oh, well, I'm paying tax in South Africa, so therefore I don't have to pay tax in the UK, or it's just people didn't realise.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, I've been investigated back 25 years ago, and it was completely not my fault. But they...
I was going to say, I was going to be totally inappropriate, shout criminal!
Well, they did find me quite a lot, actually, because I had a chartered accountant.
Yeah.
But even in that situation, it didn't impact my regulatory status when I was working in the financial services industry. It was painful, but it was just a process.
Yeah.
It's not like I then had a black mark against my name. At least not that I know about, anyway.
Yeah.
So the thing, we do a lot of disclosure work.
Yes.
And one of the reasons we do a lot of that work is because... especially when it's quite historic, you have to go back and it's quite tedious because you've got to figure out, because it's all as if it happened in that year.
Yes.
So we're lucky because our software, although I had one the other day that went back beyond our software. I think our software starts in 2010-11, I think, is the first year. And I had this one going back to 2008, I think.
Yeah.
But it's important to work through what the rules were at the time, because that's how you would be taxed, as if you'd had that income. So the whole idea of the process HMRC uses is they say, go back and pretend you got that income and you disclosed it in the right tax year.
Yeah.
And maybe
your income levels.
Yeah.
Or your income levels associated.
And things like, you know, personal allowances are different.
Yeah.
Dividend taxation. I was looking at it when they had the weird dividend tax credit thing, which actually really helped in this particular instance.
Yeah.
But it's not like you sort of calculate it as at today's rates.
Yes. And then with your offshore income, you've then got to look at the availability of any tax credits. Potentially in certain instances, you might get somebody who says, well, I pay tax in home country, I say the home country, but in the other country on that source of income, and you look at the double tax treaty, and actually double tax treaty doesn't allow for the tax credit.
And that's a real problem, of course, because you might have been in the situation where you could have got a refund. So in the UK, the corollary is you only have 4 years to claim back overpaid tax.
Yes.
If you missed all this, you can suddenly actually be done for double tax because you can't go and get a refund in the other jurisdiction.
Yes.
One of the things that has been a bit of a bee in my bonnet, just in terms of process recently, is we typically used to do a disclosure write and send in a pack to HMRC. Yeah. I think one of the things that's changed recently is to get that they're always encouraging us to use the online disclosure service.
Yep.
And we do. The thing that can be slightly frustrating about that, and that goodness knows why it works this way, is there's no facility to be able to upload stuff. So you can't put your calculations in.
Yeah.
You just have to put in numbers.
Yeah.
And then as sure as night follows day, we then get a letter saying, we don't understand your calculation.
Yeah.
And it's well, maybe you should let us send the calculations.
Yeah.
So it's been weird recently that you get a response quicker to the fact that you've done a disclosure.
Yes.
But then there's quite a lot of faffing about afterwards, sending in letters and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Well, I must admit, the other day I had some HMRC inspector looking at one of our calculations. And he called me, and I have to say his English wasn't the best. And I spent 45 minutes on the phone trying to explain it to him. Sent him another letter or email. And eventually, I think that he just got to the stage of this is all becoming too difficult. I'm just going to accept it.
Yeah.
And that's the other point, isn't it? Is it's quite odd because the way it works, you don't say, oh, this is the tax liability. This is the interest. These are the penalties. Therefore, this is the amount. You go through a slightly strange process of making an offer.
Yes.
And
paying the offer.
Yeah. So you make the offer and pay the offer on the day you submit your disclosure.
Yep.
And then there's sort of haggling that happens. And it's so odd that I've had two recently where, one client had some undisclosed capital gains on a foreign property.
Yeah.
Classic things, you pay tax in a foreign country, didn't realize it was also taxed in the UK.
Yeah.
Exactly the point you were making. And HMRC would not have it that she used up part of her basic rate band because she got other income in the UK.
Yeah.
So we sent it in and said, well, she got, I think it was let's call it 12,000 quid's worth of her basic rate band left. And they came back and said, no, she got 37,500. And it's well, that's wrong, isn't it? But eventually it was they're asking for a lower amount of money than we've calculated.
Yeah.
And the way the legislation works is that once you get that letter saying we are accepting your offer, that's it. Because it's an offer and they either accept it or they don't accept it. But it is one of those weird ones where...
We've had a few cases, haven't we, where we've had to almost fight them to go for that. Because in general, our clients want to ensure that they are being accurate with their figures.
And we get it a lot with interest as well, don't we? We had one come back. They wouldn't accept the offer because they thought the interest should be something like £6.40 lower than it. And the overall liability was in the thousands of pounds. And we ended up in this debate about £6 of interest.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to go, well, look, if that's what you want and it's less, we'll accept it. Thank you very much. And move on.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of nudge letter stuff. And as I say, it can be quite stressful for people because it's never nice to get those sorts of letters.
No, and sometimes when you are looking at that, you could imprint, because again, normally when HMRC are writing to you with a nudge letter, they're looking at maybe 2023, 2024, when we're currently in 2026. But actually at a point when this is kind of revealed, oh my gosh, I've not been treating it right. Quite often clients then have to look back quite a few years. So it is a potential can of worms that's being opened. And yes, the likelihood is there's going to be some monetary challenges associated, so stressful. But as you say, it's administrative.
It's administrative. And at some level, as I say, because some of the stuff that we get out of them is so bonkers, it's almost surreal at times. And look, we are always working to try and minimize what people owe.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes to the penalty regimes and all that stuff. Once you sort of get into it, it does become an admin nightmare. The other thing just to flag is we've also had some of these situations where the vast majority of people, they pay through PAYE.
Yeah.
They figure out that they need to do a tax return because they've got interest income or something.
Yeah.
And they go through this thing, and then they realize that we have one where they've received someone had received payment in lieu of notice, and it was a question of, was it taxable in the UK or France where they'd be located to? And we went through and did the whole thing. And one of the things we realized in doing that was that actually HMRC had got their tax code wrong, and they'd been overtaxed because they'd done two jobs, and the HMRC hadn't reconciled it. And they accepted that they hadn't reconciled it, but rather than letting us net that off against what they owed in the other years, they're like, no, you've got to do an overpayment relief claim to get that back. And disclosure only works one way. So again, it's one of those things to flag that we sometimes run into these annoying administrative computer says no situations with HMRC. I mean, that's a topic, isn't it, for a whole other podcast in terms of some of the war stories that we have dealing with them. So that was our discussion about nudge letters. Part two is going to talk about Section 9As and more of that later. But with nudge letters, it's always useful to get some support. As we discussed, it tends to be quite a sort of administratively heavy, calculation-y type situation. If you need support, then please do get in touch with us at lsrpartners.com. And if you like the podcast, please do like and subscribe below.
Thanks for listening to the Tax Compass podcast, brought to you by LSR Partners, where we help you pay the right tax in the right place at the right time. Book a call with us. Details are in the show notes.